I think we established the fact in John 12, Tuesday, that when Jesus came to that place where it was his hour, that he realized that the time had come for him to offer up his life, and that the judgment of this world was at hand. I sensed in the Word that he really got excited when those Gentile Greeks wanted to see him. And once again, he showed them the way for them to see him and to have that life that they desired to have, and that was that he would fall into the ground and die. And so we saw that the Lord set the example for us, our elder brother set the example that if we're going to have this life, this resurrection life, no longer our life, but the life of Christ in and through us, if we're going to really have that which is Christianity, the process that comes, the school of Christ, that it's no longer us, but it's Christ that lives in and through us, if we're going to have that process played out to the fullest, then we're going to have to follow the Lord. So when those Greeks came, he said, "You want to see me?" He said, "My hour's come. I'm going to fall into the ground and die. I'm going to be raised up, and you're to follow me, that where I'm at, you may be also. You're to follow me into this place of death." So he set the example. So therefore, he fell into the ground. He died. God raised him up. Resurrection power, resurrection life, and that's what we should desire in our hearts. So we should have left Tuesday very thankful that there's an example set for us, Jesus Christ, of how we may have the light of life. And so we're talking about the light of life, of having that life. I was thinking about this morning in prayer. We're so blessed to be sitting here and saved and born again, and the Holy Ghost trying to teach us about the light of life. I remember how that the devil taught me about the darkness of death. And that term came to me this morning in prayer, the darkness of death. And when I was serving Satan, that's all it was about, the darkness of death, because everything around you was darkness. And there was a pleasure in sin for a season, but the darkness of death was settling in on your life. You were living to die. Amen. You weren't living to live. We're living now to live the life of Christ. And I got really excited that God is trying to teach me personally how to have the light of life, as opposed to 20 years ago, I had nothing but the darkness of death. And I haven't forgotten how dark it was. And I think sometimes people, maybe I have myself at times, I'm sure I've forgotten at times, but I look around sometimes and I think people have forgotten how dark it was and how much death has set into their lives. And any ray of light now seems like a total extreme compared to the darkness of death that I had. I was a dying man, and you were too. I don't care if you drank and all these things, but the darkness of death was setting in your life. And your father, the devil, was teaching you about the darkness of death. Well, our Father now is teaching us about the light of life. That's a whole different world. And we ought to be truly excited about the light of life. Okay, let's go back to the bottom of page 56. And I want to stick to the book this day as much as possible and read through and try to get to the process. So on the crises, about the crises that will take place in your life, that if we're going to have the light of life, we must come to a crisis just like Jesus came to when he fell into the ground and died, lost. You have to lose that identity. So we're talking about the crisis. It is a place that the Holy Spirit will bring you, that you'll lose the identity of who you are. Amen. The last paragraph on page 56. How does this life get into us, this light of life? The Lord Jesus says that death must take place, a death to what we are in ourselves, a death of our own life, a death to life apart from him. Now, those phrases there have a world of wealth in them, if you'll just embrace them. Obviously, we don't have the time to expound upon each and every one of them. We have over the last few weeks. This whole book's an expansion of all that. But let me just read it again. The Lord says that to have this life, we must go into death, a death that must take place, a death to what we are in ourselves, a death of our own life, a death to a life apart from him. And let me encourage you. We say we're praying about things. We're praying God do this and do that and the other. God's faithful. That if we have relinquished our hearts and our lives and we've allowed the Lord to bring us this process, it's not a matter of it. We just forever and ever pray about things. God is the God of action. God does things. And he'll bring death to ourselves, our own life, and a death to a life apart from him. It is a part of the process that he purposed for us to walk in. We must go down with him into death, and there, under the act of the Spirit of God, in union with Christ buried, there is a transmission of his life to us. There's a transmission of the life of Christ to and in us apart from our own life. And so as we grow and we mature, as we talked about last night, in the Lord, that progression, there comes a transmission in our lives that it's no longer us that's living, it's Christ that lives in us. And there has got to be a crisis, a process in your life that you see that literally being developed in your life. literally being developed. As a child growing, you see that development. You see the transmission taking place from one having to have one thing to having to have something else. Those things pass away, and they now have to have something else. There should be that transmission in our lives of our life, of His life coming in place of our lives. There's got to be that transmission, and there will be. And he coming up no longer merely as a single grain of wheat, comes up manifold in every one of us. It is a miracle that is going on every year in the natural realm, and it's just exactly the principle of which the Lord gets into us. You see the necessity of our ceasing to have a life apart from the Lord, the necessity of our letting that life of ours go absolutely. That is a crisis at the beginning, a real crisis, and sooner or later it has to be a crisis. Now he emphasizes this over and over, that it's got to be a crisis. And what he is saying again, it is not something that you ought forever and always pray about. It is something the Holy Ghost will bring you to if you're open to the dealings of the Holy Ghost. He will bring you to a crisis where you see it can no longer be me, my thoughts, my actions. I have got to have a transmission of His life into me. And it will be a crisis. It won't just be a happy-go-lucky day. It won't be a song you sing. It'll be a place that He brings you, a crisis where you realize this life of mine has got to die. I've got to come to a place where it's got to be the Lord. You will have to say, like we all have to when we get this place, I have got to stop using the excuses. I have got to stop saying the innuendos. I have got to remove myself from all these things. It is nothing but me, and I've got to embrace this crisis that I get beyond this place. I can't keep making excuses. I can't keep saying I'm praying about it as if God doesn't hear or God's not faithful. I've got to come to this place where I accept the crisis that I must fall into the ground and I must die, and it must be His life coming forth. And it's a place brought to us, praise God, by the Holy Ghost. We don't have to earn, deserve it, and work it up. We just have to open our hearts up. It's as natural in the spirit realm as it is in the natural realm for a child to grow. It's a place that you're brought to. When that child is born, sooner or later they're going to start crawling. You expect that. Some children just start walking. But there's a time of crisis where they walk or they crawl and they move on. They get out of the high chair. And you expect that crisis. You potty train them. There's crises in a child's life. And they're going to come to them. They're going to crawl. They're going to walk. They're going to fall down. And you expect that. When in the spirit realm, it's the same. You've got to come to that place where you realize, this is all about me. This is me. This is my thoughts. That's got to die. I can't pamper it. I can't pray over it. I can't run it to church. It's got to die. There's got to be a crisis. That's why he emphasized that over and over. There will come that place. And we talked about, not this last night, but coming to that place of strength where it's no longer your strength made better. It's no longer you just want God's help alongside of your strength and you're learning how to coexist with God, but you're still in the front. And the battle's not the Lord's, the battle's still yours. You've got to come to that place where the battle's no longer yours, it's the Lord's. And He's in front and you're following. He's leading. Matter of fact, you're in His arms. It's got to come to that crisis. Now, some may say, I have not had that crisis. For me, becoming a Christian was a very simple thing. As a child, I was simply taught, or at some times, I simply expressed my personal faith in the Lord Jesus in some way. And from that time, I belong to the Lord. I am a Christian. Are you moving, and notice this question, are you moving on in the growing fullness of the revelation of the Lord Jesus? Are you? Now, he's acknowledging here that people say, well, you know, I've not come to that crisis, and I don't really understand it. I gave my life to the Lord back there somewhere. I've acknowledged my personal faith in the person of Jesus Christ, and, you know, I belong to the Lord, and I do this and that, and I do other things. And then Brother Sparks says, well, are you moving on in the growing fullness of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you growing? Are you maturing? So we acknowledge that Brother Sparks here puts tremendous amount of emphasis upon the fact of the growth and maturity. Well, I can't make myself grow apart from the Spirit, just like a child can't make himself grow apart from you feeding him. Amen? So the Holy Ghost comes to do a work in my life. But I've got to be willing to accept that work. So he asked us, are we truly growing in the fullness of the revelation of the Lord? Are you? Have you an open heaven? Is God in Christ revealing Himself to you in an ever greater wonder and fullness? Is He? Now He's being emphatic here. And He's preaching this to a congregation. And He's being emphatic. You can picture Him looking over the congregation. Is He? Is this happening in your life? Is it? Because He wanted the congregation to think. He wanted them to think, is this really happening in my life? Am I really coming into the fullness? Or can you go home today and look around and there it all is again, the same thing that was there 6 months ago or 2 years ago? No real change, but yet we're still praying. Are we really growing, maturing, coming into the fullness of Christ? Are we? Is He? He's emphatic here in these questions. And I can just picture Him looking out because He wants this to get into their hearts and their spirits. Because why? Because God loved us enough for His Son to die for us. And Brother Sparks is simply saying He didn't just die for you to leave you there. He wants you to come into the very fullness of the One that died for you. He says, I am not saying that you do not belong to the Lord Jesus, but I am saying to you that the unalterable basis of an open heaven is a grave. It's a grave. It's fallen to the ground and dying. And a crisis at which you come to an end of your own self-life. It is a crisis of real experimental identification with Christ in His death, not now for your sins, but as you. Your open heaven depends upon that. It is a crisis. I can't overemphasize that. It's not just merely going to church. It is a place the Holy Ghost will bring you. And you'll forever remember the day that it is. It is a crisis. You can't tell me a man that fell into the ground and died and was resurrected that he forgets it 10 years from now. He don't forget it. Amen? He'll never forget it. But you may say, well, I'm just serving the Lord. I've had personal faith in the Lord for some time, but it's crises. I mean, you know, I don't do bad things. I never have. It's that and the other. I'm pretty much just an easygoing person. But have you come to that place where there's really a growing fullness of the person of Christ? You see, that's what the kingdom of God wants for you. That's what it wants for Tom and Ozzy and Riley and Frank. It wants a fullness. Not that we just talk about Him, but we know Him and we know all these things. That's God's heart. God's heart beats this morning and wants each one of us to come into the fullness of His Son. Remember, this is Christianity, and I know you know this, it's simple, but remember, this is Christianity. It's not a religion that serves a dead God. Christianity serves a resurrected Savior. That means I can know Christ in a personal way just like I can Tom. I can commune with Him and fellowship with Him. He's not some monument or some trophy that we look toward. He's a living person. Amen? And I want to know Him. And God says, I want that life that He has. I want that life in you. That takes a work of the Holy Ghost. And it first of all takes death to what I am. Amen? It takes death to what I've been. It takes that falling to the ground so that that life can come forth. That's Christianity. And we, for so long, many people, it's going to church, it's don't do this and do that. Go to church, sing the songs, try to live a pretty decent life and talk about everybody else that don't live like we do. And that's Christianity. That is not Christianity. Christianity is letting the Holy Ghost get Jesus in you and live through you. Amen? And not just living a decent life. A lot of folk down this street here live a real decent life. Got nice houses, nice cars, go to work, good morals. They don't let their kids drink liquor on Sunday afternoon and all these things. But they're not saved. They're not born again. They're not having the fullness of Christ developing their heart. They go to church, but they're not saved. But what makes them different than us? What makes them different than us? Because they go to a different church? What makes them different? The only difference really is that we've truly allowed Christ to be born into our hearts, and now we're going to let Him grow into the fullness. And that's what He's talking about. That's why He's so emphatic about this, that we must come to this crisis, that we must go on. And so, with not one or two, but with many, this has been the way. In other words, they've accepted the Lord, they've acknowledged faith in the Lord, but there's no real growth, no real fullness. And once again, Brother Sparks is saying, and that's the way it is with a lot of people. The truth is this, that they were the Lord's children, they knew Christ, they were saved, they had no doubt about that. But, and you need to circle that little word but there. But this is what happens. But then the time came. But then the time came when the Lord, the light of life, showed to them that He not only died to bear their sins in His body on the tree, but He Himself represented them in the totality of their natural life to put it aside. Now, that's a place, that's a crossroads that we hate to admit, but that's where a crossroads where very few people ever cross. There's two things He said there. One is that Christ did what? He died for our sins. But He said we have to acknowledge that when He went to that tree, when He went to the cross, not only did He die for our sins, but He died that who we are, the self-life, can be put aside totally. And that other side of that crossroads is one that people don't like to embrace. We want to be forgiven of our sins. We don't want to go to hell. We want to be given a better life here on this earth. We want, can I just be honest, we want the advantages of Christianity. Amen. It keeps our husband home, our wife straight, or hopefully our children in some pretty decent course, and it keeps things pretty. We want the advantages of Christianity, of being forgiven of our sins. But when we start talking about the other side of that cross, where it meant not only the forgiveness of sins, but it meant that Ryland, his life, his ways, were also on that cross to be totally put aside. That's when, as we say, the rubber meets the road. There's not a person in this building, there's not a person that ever listened to this tape or ever go to church that knows anything about Christianity. There's not one person that, if you really pin them right down, they'll get really excited about the fact that their sins were forgiven on the cross. We'll all get excited, amen? Rightfully so, we'll get excited. When I asked Frank, I said, Frank, aren't you glad that God forgave you of all your sins when He died on the cross and you accepted Him? Yes, okay, yes. But when I start, I'm just using Frank's example now. But I say, Frank, aren't you also glad that He died on the cross, that everything you are, your actions, your thoughts, your opinions, your ways, aren't you glad also that He also put them on the cross, that they've also, just like the sins were put aside, all that's got to be put aside. And Frank may say, now, I like the sin part. Are you with me now? That's why Brother Sparks takes all the time to be emphatic about this. Because that's where we've got to come. That's the crisis. Sure, we don't want to go to hell. We want the sins forgiven. We want an advocate with the Father tomorrow, if not when, but if we sin, that we may cry out, God, forgive me. But when the Holy Ghost starts to get real deep in our lives and say, I'm glad you're saved, I'm glad you're Christ, but I'm bringing you to a place now where you've got to be put aside. You have. That's the crisis. That's the place we must get. That's the place that Brother Sparks is speaking about, that but until the time came when the Lord began to require more. And see, all that vocal outburst of self that's got to be heard, got to be up front, like we talked about last night, got to lead. It's all about self. And I'm saying this in love this morning. I'm not throwing this at you. I'm saying this in love because it's how the flesh is. It's all about self, and you hear it in the conversations. It's all about self. It's not sinful things, but it's still that self life up front. It's still the self life. It's not been put aside. And if you don't believe it, just punch it one good time in an area they don't like. There it is. There's the self life standing straight up. And God says, now you're glad I forgave you of your sins. What about this other thing over here I'm seeing? What about this self? What about Tom? What about Pastor Danny? What about that? Aren't you glad that the cross represented that? That's the crises we have to come to. You came to a crisis. How many of you this morning have come to a crisis in your life where you realize you're a sinner and you need to be forgiven? Was that a crisis? Mine was on a Sunday morning in the Baptist church. All right, I came to a crisis where I realized I was lost. I needed a Savior, and it wasn't just because of wanting to get out of. I'd already quit my drinking and stuff and running. I quit that a few months before. I quit all that. The grace of God was already doing the work and always drawing me. I quit all that, but I hadn't given my heart to Christ. But I came to a crisis where I said, I need to be saved. I want to serve this man. I want to love this man. That was a crisis. Sunday morning, went down, knelt at the altar, gave my heart to Christ. All right? Well, if I was to ask you this morning, I'm not going to, but how many of you this morning have really come to a crisis that acute in your life where the Lord says, now, you have got to be put aside? I can tell you this, and I can say it with a smile. If you're one of His and you're really trying to serve Him, I can tell you there's been several times in your life that you were in conversation, that you were in fellowship, that the Holy Ghost tried to reach out to you. Isaac, just use an example. That's you. You're loud, talking about self. Holy Ghost trying to reach through. And we avoid it. Nah, passed it on. And sometimes it gets louder. Sometimes we don't hear it. Sometimes we don't embrace it. But that was the Lord trying to bring that crisis where it's all about you. This is you. This is not me. That's the crisis He's trying to bring to you now. Does that make sense? We brought that crisis of forgiveness of sins. Brother Sparks says now, but what about the time the Lord starts to really put His finger on you? He says, now, this is you. This is your actions, your thoughts. This has also got to die on the cross, or it was on the cross, to put you totally aside. All right. Let's see. It was a man, and not only, are you with me now? Put aside. It was the man, and not only his sins, that went to the cross. The man, too. Not only our sins, but the man that went to the cross, who we are. That man is you. That man is me. And many, after years of being Christians, have come to that tremendous crisis of identification with Christ as men, as women, as a part of the human race, not only as sinners, but as a part of a race, natural men, not unregenerate, but natural men, all that we are in our natural life. He acknowledges we're not unregenerate, we're regenerated, we're born again, but we're still in a race of human natural life. And that's got to be put aside. Amen? Many have come to that crisis, and from that time, everything has been on a vaster scale than ever before in the Christian life. When you come to that crisis, and you choose to embrace it, and you say, Lord, I'm not only glad, listen very carefully, and there may be many crises like this you come to, but when you come to one good one, okay, and you came to a good one when you got saved because you wanted your sins forgiven, if you've ever been to one good crisis in your life like this, and I'll just use a conversation, and you're in the midst of a conversation, and boy, I mean, you were just up front, and you had the corner on that thing, you had it, that person there, and that person there, and that person there, just needed to get quiet so you could just go ahead and set it straight. Go ahead, because you had it. Hey, they thought they knew, but hey, y'all get finished now and y'all express y'all's opinions. Let me tell you how it really is. If you've been there one time and let the Holy Ghost put His finger right on you and look at you and say, you don't know anything about what you're talking about. And you hushed and let God do a work. If you've ever had that happen one time, let me tell you, it has forever changed your life. It is almost a crisis as powerful as the one when you got saved, because you found a power greater than yours that would lift you up out of self and let you have the light of Christ, the life of Christ, to speak through you. Get quiet, amen? Now, I went there asking you, obviously, because we don't have the time to go into this, but it's a tremendous crisis. I've had that happen to me several times, several times. So you would admit that? Well, sure, I've been saved 20 years. I've been saved 20 years trying to serve the Lord. I've never, quote-unquote, by the grace of God, gone back. I've never done that. And that's only by the grace of God I've tried to walk forward these 20 years. Have failed Him miserably in many areas. Have seen myself compared to Him and say, I don't know. Though I hadn't grown a bit years back. But I have come to places in my life. I have come to places where the Lord says, that is not me, that is you. Just why don't you get quiet? And I've acknowledged it and stopped, and I saw a crisis of growth as much almost as powerful as getting saved. Because I realized the cross was powerful. It wasn't just for my sins, it was for me, who I am. Had to die that day. Amen? Had to die. Any comments? Everybody with me? There has been the open heaven, and that's what happens. That crisis comes, there has been the open heaven, the enlarged vision, the light of life in a far greater way. Well, how does it come about? Just like that. And that crisis is a crisis for us all. Now, if you want to stop me, I'm not looking, just speak out and I'll let you speak. Okay? So please stop me if you got a comment. Any input, because I'm sure not covering all the ground here. I'm not there standing before you I don't have all the ground to cover, but we're sharing our hearts. Amen? If you have not had that crisis, ask the Lord about it. I challenge you, go ask the Lord about it. Get serious. Ask the Lord about it. Say, and that preacher stood up there Thursday morning. He actually acted almost as excited, or he acted like that this crisis of the man on the cross, he acted like that was almost as exciting to him as the fact that the sin was on the cross. So what's he talking about? I've always been excited about the sin being on the cross, but he's talking about the man being on the cross, who he is. That's exactly what I'm saying. We need to get just as excited about the man on the cross as the sin on the cross. And that man was us that had to die, that had to be put aside. We like the fact that the sin was put aside, but now the man got to be put aside. Amen? And he stood up there and he was excited about that. I sure am. Because I know this natural man does not want the kingdom of God. This natural man does not want the things of the Spirit. This natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. Amen? And so I want the natural man put aside. And I'm excited that an old rugged cross where Jesus hung on was symbolic of not only my sins being forgiven, not just symbolic, but it was where the sins were forgiven at. Also, my natural man was put aside. And I will come to a crisis in my life where he says, that's it, this is the place right here. Are you willing to put you aside? I'm excited about that for you. And so Brother Spark says, why don't you ask the Lord about it? Amen? Why don't you get real serious and ask the Lord about it? Mark you, if you're going to have that transaction with the Lord, you're asking for something. Y'all will circle that. So I just enjoy going to church and singing a song. Why should I ask the Lord about this? Because you ought to want to grow. and mature and progress and bring glory to His name. But what's this book talking about? The glory of God. Zero. 0 point. You read the last chapter? 0 point. The glory of God. It's about totally us being gone and Christ living through us. He said, you're asking for something. You're asking for trouble. Or as I had said before, this natural man dies hard. He clings tenaciously. He does not like being put aside. And I could stay right there for a couple of classes. He's telling the truth. You're asking for something. You're asking for trouble because your natural flesh of man is going to kick up. He's going to kick up. He's going to look around and find others that's not walking that way. And that's one good excuse. He's going to look around and find all the reasons why you've tried and you've prayed and I've been in church and I just don't understand. It is nothing more than self-dying hard. That's all it is. You can smile. That's all it is. It's nothing but self hanging on with everything it's got. It's like the lost man that comes and the Holy Ghost hits him and he reaches up and grabs the pew. He's holding on. You're doing the same thing in your natural man. Same thing, trying to hold on. Don't want to die. Won't be able to express that opinion next week. Won't be able to have that attitude next week. That's self hanging on. Won't be able to be up front and vocal instead of pale into the shadows and just be quiet. Amen. That's the old man hanging on. He doesn't want to die. He don't like being put aside. He does not like being not being noticed. Amen. He don't like being in the ground. And Sister Beth talked about that time in that corner of wheat under the ground and people walking on the ground on top of you. They don't even know you're there. They can't see you. They don't know you're there. They walk all over you. Amen. People don't like to be walked on because it hurts self. And we want the Holy Ghost. We want the power. But this is where it comes from. Amen. This is how it comes. Being put aside. Look at that grain of wheat. When it has fallen to the ground, look at what happens to it. You think it's pleasant? What is happening? It's losing its own identity. You cannot recognize it. Take it out. Have a look at it. Is this that lovely grain of wheat that I put into the ground? What an ugly thing it has become. We don't like that to happen to us. Reputation says you can't let that happen. Amen? We like for people to like us. We want people to acknowledge us and to accept us. And if we go down, they're going to see who we really are. They're going to see how ugly we really are. They're going to see just what we really are. Amen? Are y'all listening this morning? Or is that, y'all with me now? Am I on a falsehood this morning? Am I jumping the wrong rabbit? Or is Brother Sparks right on it? I'm just reading the book. Is he on it? Is that what happens? But see, we can't use that excuse forever. Well, the flesh dies hard, and that's the why mine hadn't died. That can't be used, can it? It's losing its own identity. Cannot recognize it. An ugly thing it has become. It has lost all its own identity, lost its own cohesiveness. It is all falling to pieces. Oh, we don't like that. We don't like not to look together. Amen? Boy, especially when we get in a conversation where we think we've got a little corner on it, we want people to think we got it together. Amen. Get on that phone. Here we go, boy. And the one on the other end, I'm just going to say this in love. If they're really praying and walking in the Spirit, they're sitting there smiling because they know what you fixed to get. God fixed to put you in a crisis in your life. Well, you remember all those times when you were up there in the rafters and God said, I was down on the floor. What you doing up there? Amen. I'm smiling. Because it's going to happen if you love the Lord. If you love the Lord and you're His, it's going to happen. And you're going to look back almost to the extent when you look back at how lost you were and how merciful God was to save you, when you come to this crisis, you're going to look back. You're going to say, God, how can you be so patient with me? How could you have been so patient? I was so foolish and so full of myself. Well, amen. Well, it's the truth. It's exactly what's going to happen to you. You're going to fall to pieces. You don't want to fall to pieces. Don't want to fall to pieces. How ugly. Yes, that is what death does. This death of Christ, as it's wrought in us, breaks up our own natural life. It scatters it, pulls it to pieces, takes all its beauty away. We begin to discover that, after all, there is nothing in us but corruption. That is the truth. Falling apart, we're losing all that beauty that was there from the natural point of view, perhaps as men saw it. It is no pleasant thing to fall into the ground and die. That's what happened. That's it. That's what happens. Very simple. It falls to the ground. We lose all that beauty. Nothing in us but corruption. It scatters. It's all taken away. Pulls it to pieces. From the natural view, what men saw, it all falls apart. Amen? It's like trying to clean up your house real quick before somebody comes. After a while, that just don't cut it no more. Amen? You want to keep it that way. Just an example, be it your yard or whatever. You can't just pile it up and all these things. You got to keep it right. Amen? Because you're doing it as unto the Lord instead of as unto men. Amen? And this is not something you learn to do. Listen, you don't learn to be quiet. You don't learn to do it right. It's got to be a work of the Holy Ghost. If we could learn to do it, then why do I need to get saved? Amen. It's not through the mentality or the intellect. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. We bring it to a crisis. Amen. And I fall into the ground and I die and His life comes forth. Does that interest you today? Does that really interest you of the selfish man falling to the ground? This is what happens. But if it dies, then this is the good part. This is the good part. Remember, I've talked to you about when you read the Gospels, you never hear Christ talk about Him dying while He doesn't mention resurrection. He always talks about resurrection because He's given us hope that if we're willing to fall into the ground and die, He says, I'll raise you up. And so Brother Spark says, but if it die, if we're willing for that man to fall into the ground, if we die with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with Him. So if we're willing to fall into the ground and die, we also believe, Romans says, we shall live with Him. We shall share His life, take another life, and then a new form is given, a new life, not ours, but His. It is a crisis. And I do urge upon you to have real dealings with the Lord about this matter. So He's urging His congregation. Brother Sparks is urging his congregation to have a real dealing with the Lord about this matter. To really take it home, to really spend time. Lord, how much of me is hanging around? Lord, how much of me is being heard? How much of that conversation last week was me and was you? How much of that convincing that I tried to do in people's lives, how much of that was me and none of you? And Brother Sparks said, I'd encourage you to have real serious dealings about this matter. But if you do, expect what I have said. If you get serious about this, expect what he said. Expect that you're going to fall to pieces. Expect that the beauty you thought was there will be altered, be altogether marred. Expect to discover that you are far more corrupt than ever you thought you were. Expect that the Lord will bring you to a place where you cry, woe is me, for I am undone. But then the blessing that will come will just be this. Oh Lord, the best thing that can happen for me is that I shall die. The blessing. Because He doesn't leave you in the ground, He resurrects you. And what comes forth? The light of life. The life of Christ. Amen? The life of Christ comes forth. And the Lord will say, that's exactly what I've been working at. I cannot glorify that corruption. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And that corruption is the germ of that divine life in the seed, or that incorruption is the germ of that divine life in the seed which yields its own life up that is transmitted from Him. God is not going to glorify this humanity. He is going to make us like Christ's glorious body. That is far too deep, too much ahead, but our point is that there has to be that crisis if we're going to come to the glory. If we're going to have the glory, we've got to come to that crisis. And that's exactly where we're headed, the zero point, the glory of God, the resurrection in Lazarus, that his life comes forth, not us. It's a continual work of God. As I said earlier, I'm so glad that, you know, when I was lost, I'm not glad of that, but when I was lost, the enemy taught me the darkness of death. He taught me the darkness of death. And it was getting darker, I was getting closer to dying. I mean, a death into sin. But now I have a Father that's teaching me the light of life. Total extreme. One extreme to the other. But it does mean this. And if I've said anything today at all that you can get, I hope it's this. That on the cross, not only did He die for our sins, not only were our sins placed on the cross, but this was put on the cross too. That we no longer have to live our lives according to the natural man, but that's got to be put aside. Now, it was a crisis when you got born again. That was a crisis. You came to a place where you acknowledge I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. That was a crisis in your life. That's got to happen. You have to be born again into the kingdom. That was a crisis. That was on the cross. The crisis of accepting the fact that you were a sinner and those sins were put aside on the cross, that was a crisis. And what Brother Sparks is teaching us, And the school of Christ is this, that there's also another crisis, that on that cross as well was the natural man of Frank. That Frank can no longer sin because he's saved, but Frank no longer can live in the natural and do what he wants to do. I mean, it's not even sinful things, but he cannot live the natural man, express his natural opinions. He said, I'll bring you to a crisis where you acknowledge that he's on that cross, that you're on that cross as well. That's got to die. That's what we've said today. That's the cross. The sins and the person. That part dies hard. It clings tenaciously. We cling tenaciously to our reputations. We cling tenaciously to what people think about us. The flesh likes to be seen. It likes to be heard. It likes to be acknowledged. It likes to be right. It likes to be in control. And if it can't get it one way, it'll get it another. Amen? That's the natural fleshly man. Be it good things it's control of or bad things it's in control of. Amen? When I was lost, my flesh had to have a particular kind of whiskey, and it had to be in control of that. Well, I can get saved, born again, filled with the Spirit, and my flesh still try to dictate my life in certain areas of good things. Amen? It's got to be relinquished. It's got to be relinquished. It's still the natural man. Jesus said, my hour has come, and I'm excited about it. I'm going to the cross. And when I go to that cross, I'm going to put your sins on the cross, and I'm going to put you on that cross of what you are and what you want to be. It's going to go on that cross. That you no longer have to live it through your own strength, but I can live through you. That second part has got to be a crisis that you come to in your spiritual walk. That you come to that place, that's what this chapter is talking about. And if this really interests us, if it really does interest us to go on with the Lord, to grow and mature, that crisis, he's saying, has to happen. Amen? Where it's not like religious efforts and religious works and all this outward stuff, but it's a real work of God in our hearts and our lives that bring forth glory. I trust that you're interested in this. I trust that you're excited about this. I trust that this is why you're here, obviously, to want to learn this and to grow and mature. But I encourage again, as he says, if you're asking for this, you're asking for trouble. Amen? Because your natural man dies hard. But thank God, the Holy Ghost is greater than the flesh, and he's willing. And it's not some extreme hardness that no one can do this. It's just a matter of relinquishing the fleshly man and acknowledging where he lives and where he needs to die at. Amen? As I said about the conversation, we see our conversation, and the Holy Ghost says, that's got to go. And you acknowledge that, you embrace it, and you go forth from that place. That was a crisis. But there's a place you can come as you walk with the Lord and you mature, where you come to a place where there's such a cry in your heart that you're so sensitive to God that you do not want any of self-seeing, that God has broke you down. Now that is a crisis beyond what you're speaking about, that God will break you down. That you realize, just like we talked about last night, you don't want your strength strengthened, you don't want his help alongside of yours, you're done with all that. It's got to be God's hand under you. And Saul was trying to fight that Philistine, that uncircumcised giant. He'd have never, ever won the victory. But David walked on, held up by God. He come to a place in his life. That's the crisis that we're speaking about more so this morning. But yes, we come to many of those places, those crossroads, where we have to acknowledge, boy, this has been all about me. And we carry it to the cross. This has been all about me. Sounding good. Boy, I look good, doesn't it? But this is not him. This is all about me. This is just self-innocent. And so you walk through that crossroads. 5 months later, you hadn't forgot it, had you? You hadn't forgot it. You come up again in the flesh, oh, I'm not going there. Trust, I'm not living there. That's not the Lord. You know it's not the Lord. And then you're on good ground that the God can take you on and on into another place where you see that, you know, it's self. You see that it's me. It's not the Lord. And you see that he's all together other than you are. And your eyes are open to that. And you acknowledge it. And there's a desire in your heart called grace that wants to be like that. So yes, you do come to more than just one crisis. Obviously, if you were to get saved and 6 months later, he would hit you broadside with this. It would be probably more than you can handle. But God knows he's patient, he's merciful, he's gracious to do a work in your life. Why? Because we are the what? Body of Christ. The head's in heaven, we're the body. And he wants that body to have the fullness of the head, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? Brother Sparks said there's an open heaven. We read that at the bottom of that page. He said, when you come to that place, there's an open heaven. It's when heavens are open to you and you sense the presence of God and you know that you walk through with him. His hand is holding yours and he's walking with you. It's like an open heaven. That's what Charlie was just saying. He came to that place and there's crises after that. It's just like David walking onto the battlefield. He knew the battle with the Lord's and wasn't in his own strength. And there's a peace in your heart. There's a rest in your heart that you're totally leaning on God and it's not you. You don't have to go out and prove anything. You don't have to go out and do anything. It's the Lord's work. It's the Lord's kingdom. It's the battle of the Lord's. And there's a rest in Him. There's a peace in Him where He's let that sword come into you and you realize that apart from Him, you have no ability to do anything. And then you rest on Him and He supports you. He totally holds you up. So it's like an open heaven. It's like you realize that the presence of God is with you. And it just brings you into a fullness where you're just so willing and acceptable to come into that place again that God brings you. There's just an openness in your heart to just want to be where He wants you to be. And you're just willing. And you don't want to hide anything. You don't want to shirk the duties or stay in the shadows. You just want it all up front, just real, honest before the Lord. Nothing to hide because you're just who you are. And you love the Lord and you just want to be with Him and let Him do a work in your heart. Just like, well, we use Peter, for example. And it's not just because we can't just relegate everything because the day of Pentecost that had to happen, but it was because the Spirit came. You can take Peter, and men do all the time, and look at his life. Matter of fact, if you go to your Bible, if you have an open Bible, if you went to it sometime, you find Peter's life in there. A lot of Bibles it has before Pentecost and after Pentecost. And you read about his life, it's a total change. So yes, there's a process that we're totally changed in those areas of our life. It's called the cross, and we're going to talk about that, which we know is the cross, where his death brought. But yes, the Holy Ghost, to answer your question, brings us through that process where in that area of our life there's been a work done in our heart. Just as sure as the sins were forgiven on the cross, then that man was put to death on the cross as well. And the Holy Ghost works you through that process where it's no longer I, but it's Christ. And again, that we might what? Decrease, that He might increase. And you'll start to see a decrease in you and an increase in Christ. Amen. And if you've been saved any amount of time at all and you've been really trying to grow, you've already seen that. You're seeing that. It's a process. If you've been saved any amount of time at all and you've really tried to embrace the Lord, it's a process that you're seeing. And you're excited about that because you're seeing less of you and more of Him. Amen. Well, the Holy Spirit comes to work out these things and allows us, saying simply that we can't work them out ourselves. We don't have the ability. The Holy Spirit has got to do the work. Our part is just simply to allow Him to have the groundwork to work on. It's like, cutting grass. You got to have grass to cut. You got to put the lawnmower on the grass and cut it, you know. But somebody's got to give you permission to put that lawnmower in the yard to cut the grass. Well, you, by relinquishing your will, you accept the Lord, or you ask the Holy Ghost to come in and to do this work in your life. You give Him permission to come in and do the work. Because we all know we can frustrate the grace of God. Amen. We all know we all know how to grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so He's saying, don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Don't frustrate the grace. Let Him come in. Relinquish your will. And then your part is simple, childlike obedience. Just whatever He says, do. And Sister Beth, I don't know if she talked about it in the class, but about that delayed obedience. A lot of people's problems is just simply delayed obedience. They've just refused to obey the Lord in areas He has spoken to them. And so, Melissa, your part is open your heart up and let God do the work because He's able. And He'll do the work and He'll take you through the process. And as He speaks things to you to do or not to do, just do them. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, He'll give you strength to do it. Yes, He will. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. He'll break it. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. If He sees a cry in your heart and want to love Him and serve Him, then thank God He'll come. And if I've got a strong will or whatever, He'll come with His mercy and His grace and His love and compassion and do a work in our lives. That's exciting. I don't have to stand here this morning and say, I've got a strong will that God can't break. But I love the Lord. I want to serve Him, God. But you can't. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if I love the Lord, I can have a strong will, but God loves me enough to come and with compassion and mercy break me down to where He can do the work. Thank God. Thank God He don't walk by Charlie and say, there ain't no way with him. If He hears a cry in Charlie's heart, the least of the cries, the faintest of cries in Charlie's heart, that says, I want to love this man with all my heart. If God can hear the faintest of cries, there's nothing too big in His heart what God can't do a work. Nothing. Nothing. That's our part. That's our part. It's like a little child that cries, be it upstairs, downstairs, in the bedroom. If you hear the faintest of cry, and that child's not supposed to be crying, now this is the opposite side of the picture, but if that child's not supposed to be crying, and you hear the faintest of cries, if there's any strength in you to get to that child, you'll get to him. Amen? That's the way God is. When He hears a real cry in a child of His, we want to get to Him. I'm telling you, there's nothing that can stop Him from doing the work. Nothing. You're not too bad or too good. You've got to do the work. That's good news. That's all he's talking about. Never forget, all this is based on the love of God. Don't forget this. It's all based. This is not about do's and don'ts. All this is based on the love of God. Because have we forgot what we were? Have we forgot what we, how we acted and what this natural man still... Listen, can I just get honest? Have you forgotten the natural capabilities of your man, the capabilities of your natural man? Have any of you forgotten the last time you were sitting in the house of God while the word was being preached and wicked thoughts was in your mind? And we want to play with this thing? Have you forgot how wicked the natural mind is? And don't look at me like somebody like, well, I can't imagine you would say that somebody was sitting in the house of God while you were singing the song, while you were preaching, while you were sitting here in the Word. Your mind has the capability of natural evil things running through it. While the Word's being preached, the Word's being preached there, and you're over yonder somewhere. What is that? Well, I'll tell you what, I want God to do work in me. Amen. I haven't forgot how wicked this natural mind is, this natural man is. And apart from the work of God, there's no hope for me. No hope. But God said, I love you enough to die for you, and I love you enough to be patient with you to do a work in your life. Thank God. It's all built on the love of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That's what it's all built. So this is not God coming down with do's and don'ts. This is God flooding our souls with the love, with His love to do a work in our lives. Amen. That we don't have to be bothered with all this natural mess in our hearts. That He can do a work. Thank God He can get rid of the trash. Amen. He can get rid of the trash. He can get rid of the junk. Thank God. Amen. If you go home today and your living room's got a bunch of trash in it, you'll be somebody going there and pick it up for you. That's what God's trying to do. He's trying to get the mess out of your life. Amen. That's good news. He will use these crises and trials. He will use it all to show us ourselves compared to Him, to do a work in our hearts, to bring us to that place where we want Him. Just like Isaiah, woe is me. I saw Christ lifted up. He brings us to these crises, these trials, these afflictions, whatever it is, to show us ourselves compared to Christ, to show us the Lord. And then He gives us the grace to get to Him, because He knows we don't have it in us. Then He gives us the grace, which is His desire, His strength, to get to Him that He wants us to get to. It's all about Him. We just open our hearts. Just like when you got saved, when you got born again, what did you do to get saved? Who here does some real good? How many of you sung a song in the morning and preached? You sung real well, and I'm being facetious now. You sung a real good song in the morning and preached, said, you're saved now. Anybody? What did you do? What did you do? You simply what? Gave your life to Christ. Amen? That's what it's all about. Now you're at another crisis. You got to give it to Jesus. Amen? You got to let go of it and let Him have it. Let Him do the work. Thank God. You say, is it that simple? We've complicated it. We have made it complicated. It is simple if we just simply walk in childlike faith, childlike obedience. Amen? Praise God. Let's stand.